think she started.
Okay, I think I might say a few words first, if that's okay. Just generally. Right, well, welcome everybody. My name is Michael Temple, and I am part of the Birkbeck Institute for the Moving Image, which has organised the SA Film Festival in collaboration with the ICA, collaboration with the Goethe Institute. And as you probably are aware, a key strand of the festival this year has been around the work of Kidra Tahimik. So we showed Perfume Nightmare on Sunday at the ICA. We had a fantastic screen, which was beautiful because it was a 16mm print. On Monday, we had a fantastic evening at the Goethe Institute, where we showed Who Invented the Yo-Yo, Who Invented the Moon Buggy. And then, in fact, we beamed Kidlat in, because for reasons that I'll explain in a second, he's not going to be with us. So we beamed him in by Skype, and in fact, it worked really, really beautifully, I thought. We showed the, I thought, amazing, absolutely one of the best films I think I've ever seen in my life, certainly one of the best filmic experiences I've had in my life, which is to watch Why Is Yellow the Middle of the Rainbow, which is a fantastic sort of, it's a historical fresque, and at the same time, a very personal diary film, and a kind of film about a family, a film about children, a film about someone's everyday life. So it was an extraordinary experience last night, I think. And throughout, we've been very lucky to have with us Catherine de Guia, who is Kidlat Tahimik's wife, partner, collaborator, and has been for, and appears, actually, I've been seeing you in all of these films as well, which has been very moving.
Here are some that I'm not in.
Yeah. But it's been very, very moving, actually, because obviously, in those of you who don't know Kidlat's films, you know, his immediate entourage appear in most of the films. He's acting the role, his children are in it, etc. So there's a very intimate side, and it's actually been very moving, I think, that side of getting to know you and seeing you in some of those films. So the bad news, obviously, and which is something that really, I suppose, was beyond our control, is that there were problems ultimately with Kidlat's visa. So we couldn't get him from Brussels to London. So I mean, I take responsibility for that. It's you know, it's someone could have, you know, but we basically, I think everybody overlooked something that, when you pointed out, is incredibly obvious. But didn't occur.
Even a travel agent.
I know. No, I mean, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Ultimately, it's our responsibility. You know, we should have got him here, and we didn't do that. So I apologise, obviously. And I know that it's great that you've come this morning. And I know that many people have decided that they don't want to come. But in essence, we're really going to still do a very exciting event. The films that we're going to show in the first part are five examples of short work by Kidlat Tahimik, what's known as the video palada, the video diaries. So you've got the programme notes. You're going to be seeing Some More Ice from 2005, Bubong or Ruth of the World Unite from 2006, Our Film Grimage to Rimaresh, which is 2005, Orbit 50, Letter to My Three Sons, which is 1990-1992, and Celebrating the Year 2021 today, which is 1995. So we're going to have five short films. And once Catherine has made a short introduction to the whole topic, we're actually going to watch them in one go, okay, and just let them run through as a full programme. And then obviously, once that's finished, if there's a bit of time, we can have a little, you know, chat or conversation. We'll then have a small break. And then at 1:15, so if you could try to be back here by about 1:10 or something like that, we're going to have a Skype session with Kidlat, who'll be in Brussels Skyping to us, at which point he'll be talking to you, we can ask him any questions we like, and I think we'll just sort of let that run for as long as it runs. We can be here till 3:15, 3:30, but we'll see how it goes. So, I mean, you still have the opportunity to see him, to hear him, you just can't touch him, that's all. And as I say, I think please feel very, very free to ask any questions. He's an extremely friendly, extremely warm, very funny man. And he comes across fantastically well on Skype. I felt the other night, it was like he was this kind of presence in the room floating above us. So I think deep down, I still think it will be a fun event, and I'm sure you'll learn a lot. So I'd like to pass over to Katrine, who's just going to say a few general words, and then I will press the magic button. Okay, so thank you very much.
So hello, and thanks for coming. Of course, what I would like to introduce first is absolutely important, the most important thing, just as important as all the films, is his bamboo camera. The bamboo camera is obviously a fish trapping device from the Philippines, has nothing to do with film. This can vary from covers of sugar boxes or whatever. He uses whatever is round to create two film rolls, if you know how the old cameras looked. And this is the filmmaker who is looking through this bamboo camera. Bamboo camera stands for the local story, for your own story, not anything you learned in school or anybody told you, anybody you want to imitate, but it is the local, your own story, your community, your family, whatever you like. Basta, you tell your own story, bamboo camera. Now, what is missing here is two statues that usually are right and left before the camera. One of them is Filipina goddess. She's the goddess of the wind, and she's a weaver. She was tested by the gods. She was an ordinary human, was tested by the gods, how strong she would be under duress, under stress. And so they blew and blew and blew at her, but she would not let go of her buckstrap weaver. She would not let go of her intention to make her tapis, her colorful clothes. And in the end, she was elevated to the status of a goddess because of her strength in duress. And this goddess of the wind, she's called Inahabian. And today the Ifugao ask for that strength when there's anything like a typhoon, like a landslide or terrible events that happen in the Philippines on a regular basis. Then people call on her to install on them her strength. Well, the other figure, which is also with my husband in Brussels, because they're big and they would be too heavy to carry around for me, the other person is, of course, the goddess of Hollywood, which is Marilyn Monroe, also a goddess of the wind. The wind blows from below. She tries to hide it or not, whatever, you know. She is stands for the formula film. Formula meaning sex plus violence equals profit. Yeah, S plus V equals P. And this is commercial films. It is in contrast to the local story because it needs to sell. There's a very nice comment in Munich. Somebody said, "Oh, Kidla Tahimi, we are so glad that you are a storyteller and not a story seller." And for Kidla Tahimi, he doesn't call himself a filmmaker because obviously he also does performances, he does installations, and he calls himself a storyteller, visual storyteller. And a visual storyteller in his performances, he also tells a story. It's a pity he cannot be here. Would have loved this house with all these crooked, colorful corners. That's the kind of environment he thrives in. But he's there, and I almost guess that he's going out trying to sneak some film material on how Brussels looks now, you know. This is, who knows. To get back to Kidla Tahimik, he was born in the war in a city that was occupied by the Americans. His mother was, and his father, they worked closely. His mother was a mayor, so they worked closely with the Americans. And maybe this is how we can understand why his motive is very, some people call it anti-American, but it's more anti-imperialist, it's more anti-commercialism, materialism, and so forth. And he himself studied in Wharton, he made his MBA, and then tore it up and became an artist. And he actually tore it up, it's not stored somewhere in his cabinet, no. he tore it up and threw it away or burned it or something. And what is left is just that we still get these mailings from Wharton School. For many years they didn't acknowledge him. Now that global warming has made us aware of our worldview that needs to be tweaked for survival. Now even Wharton has been writing about him before he was ignored for 40 years. And I must say, as his wife, his motives from the beginning stayed the same. You know, he has the same concern that he communicates. You will see it a little bit in these films. Now, about a video, essay video. These films were greatly encouraged by the Japanese Yamagata Festival kind of encouraged him to render his products, to finish his products. So there were sometimes he won prizes with his films, sometimes he just got a little from this prize money. He bought again material or a new camera and made the next film. That's usually how he works, without budget, without script. And out of his working style came this video essays. And there was a Japanese filmmaker who said, oh, Kitlata Himik uses 16 millimeter like a video. You know, he just shoots anything. And of course, in the beginning, while he still mainly used 16 millimeter, he also used any stock, you know. People gave him, the good professional filmmakers gave him the old stocks, you know, expired stocks, and he used anything. That's why some of his films are a little bit grainy and so forth. You find in each of these works several generations of machines, video machines, of audio machines, of mixture between 16 millimeter Bolex, which he still carries around sometimes and still used until recently when it became very difficult to get 16 millimeter stocks and to develop it. Several labs folded up around the world. But so he likes to mix things, and he says, as a filmmaker, he uses any medium and any style just to get his story across. So I think this is enough. And
perfect,
press
yes.
The button.
Yeah. Okay, you. I will try to put my magic finger on it.